Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel, our lesson today is from Romans 13 about the government. And as children of God, we share something unique. We are citizens of two kingdoms. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of faith, citizens of the people of God, the church. We are also citizens of the people of the United States of America. And so we have two places where we live in the kingdom of God, and we live in the kingdom of the United States of America. And as Christians, we are supposed to be blessed in both and doing proper things in both. Now, like King Jesus, he's the king over all of them, over both realms. He is king over all things, ruler over heaven and over earth. And there's no majesty, no power like Jesus, who has chosen you to be in his kingdom. He's chosen you to be one of his followers. You are a disciple of Jesus. You follow in his ways. You live in his love. And Jesus is the one who said, come to me, let me take your sin for you. Let me call you into my kingdom. Let me prepare a place for you. And then he suffers and he dies and he says, let me pay for it. Let me pay for it completely. Let me cover you so that you can thrive, so that you can live in my kingdom in heaven and in my kingdom here on earth as my mercy showers you with my love. So we have dual membership. Membership with God profoundly affects the membership we have as citizens of the United States of America. Because you're a Christian, it changes what kind of an American you are. You're a follower of Jesus Christ, that it changes how we live in our world. Again, we're not like the world. You are a Christian citizen, not just in America. You are a Christian citizen in the United in Spencer, Iowa, here. And so our text this morning talks about how we're different. Submitting to the government for God's sake. Submitting to the government for God's sake. So we're thankful, yes, that God has shown his mercy toward us. We're thankful that our sins have been washed away, that he's rescued us from our sins. We're thankful that we have a Savior and we're not going to die forever because of our disobedience. And because of that, we have a duty toward God. God sent his Son, and now we have a duty toward him to follow in the ways of his Son. A duty toward God. And we also then, being dutiful to our Lord, have a duty to what God calls us to do, which is be dutiful to our country. In our text, Paul informs the Christians at Rome how to follow Jesus by being a good citizen of Rome. And this is difficult because as his words apply back then, so his words apply to us today, that we are to apply this to our citizenship here in America. As citizens of God, we live in his kingdom, we honor his kingdom by honoring the kingdom that he tells us to honor here on earth, which is our government. Paul writes, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And I think it's important to realize that God established this. God's the one who established government. He's the one who established leadership that orders society. He's ordered many things that order society. Marriage, he ordered that. He ordered family, structure, the estate of government. All that comes from God. And God rules over kings. He rules over princes. He rules over all the presidents and the powers of the earth. And he established governments. Why? To take care of people, whether they're good or bad. A government is over us to be able to take care of the people of that land. And so there are rules to follow so that we can live together peacefully. And there are taxes to pay so that we can afford to live together peacefully. And yet some might argue that there's no way that God would put governments over us because so many of the governments in the world are wicked. And so many of the governments are evil. And so many of the governments are unjust. The Roman government was doing incredibly wicked things at the time. This was not a bunch of people who were good people. It was a powerful nation, no question. The most powerful on earth. But Rome forced its citizens to worship Caesar. Worship Caesar or die. They meant it. That was difficult for a Christian. The culture was steeped in all kinds of sexual sins. The leadership was corrupt with homosexuality and all kinds of terrible, terrible things of sleeping with children and things like that. Sexually impure, immoral, dishonest, full of their power, corrupt. And worst of all, this Roman government thought it was a good idea to kill Christians. That the church that wouldn't bow down to Caesar, the people of that church needed to die. And then Nero, who was the emperor at that time, began the slaughter. He found a demented delight in watching Christians be tortured. And of course, what he did was he would throw them to the lions, he would impale them on stakes and set them on fire. So you might think Christians would oppose all that. Well, and you might think that the Christians in Rome were thinking, well, if the government is that wicked, God certainly wants us to oppose this wicked government to get even. And that's wrong. Again, opposing governments, the Bible says, is like opposing God himself. Paul writes, whoever resists the governing authorities that I made, resist what God has appointed. So Paul writes this to clear up the confusion. He wants us to honor that which is bad. Now let me explain. You know, sometimes cars get in accidents. They get wrecked. And sometimes the people that drive those cars die in them because of those accidents. Does that mean cars are evil or that the people that drive them are evil? No. The negative doesn't negate the principle. Cars are good. People that drive them are good. It gets us around. Well, again, some marriages, and God bless the estate of marriages, some marriages fail. Some marriages are horrendous. People get hurt in marriages. Evil happens in marriages. But again, God established marriage. So since there are evil people in marriage, does that mean marriage is evil? No, again, the negative does not negate the principle. Marriage is good and holy and right. Government is good and established by God for our care. Again, Paul writes, the governing authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Which is why God commands us with these following words. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now that word subject is really in Greek from two root words. Command and under. Command and under. Subject. So we obey the government because we are under their command. That's just a biblical concept. We have an authority, and we're under their command. You've got mom and dad, and the children are under their command. They're subject to their parents in all things. It's the same idea. Now, the government may oppose God. The government may not do things the way the Christian church would do things, and usually doesn't. But they're not our enemies. God calls us to be good citizens of those governments under which we are under and commanded by. And again, being under this kingdom of the United States of America, we are to convince them that God's ways would make this a better place. As Christians, if people would listen to us, there'd be better cities. There'd be less crime. There'd be more faithful people. But nobody's going to listen to us if we're rebelling and fighting against the government as though it's our enemy. Again, we're here to convince the government that God's way will make the world a better place, and that's exactly what Augustine did. Augustine wrote a book, The City of God, in which he was trying to convince the Roman government that God's ways will make better cities and better people and better communities so that people can flourish. You know, if we attack the governments, no one's going to listen. No one's going to listen to us. No one's going to listen that God's ways are best. If you decide to rebel against the government, you'll find yourself actually rebelling against God. And if you don't disobey the laws of the land that have been placed over you, because you're under their command, and you decide, well, I'm just going to speed because I want to speed, or I'm not going to pay my taxes because I don't want to pay my taxes, then you'll find yourself being placed under God's judgment. Because you know better, you're a child of God. Paul wrote, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment down upon themselves. Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar, give to God what is God's. God knows everything, and he knows. He knows when we disobey our government. He knows when we dishonor our leadership. He knows when you fail to pray for your government. He knows when you fail to pray for your leadership. And what a difference it makes when we pray. When we pray for our leadership, for our leaders. Why? Because why don't we pray for them? You say, I don't want to pray for the leaders. Well, it's probably you don't want to pray for them because what they're doing you don't like. You don't agree with the government, what the politicians are doing. So you don't pray for them because you don't like them. I understand. And yet, praying for our leaders. This is one of the reasons why Jesus had to die for sinners like us, because we're just as stubborn as they are. He paid the price for our sinful rebellion, for our disobedience. He covered our transgression so that we might obey Him. And so by obeying Him, obey the laws of our land and live together in this society as peaceful citizens to serve God. These agencies that God has placed over us, they provide for our care. They provide so many things that we might live together. Our taxes go to support all these good things. And yet you might say, now wait a minute, I'm not going to pay taxes to my government because my government supports abortion. And I'm not going to give my money to the government so that that money can be used to commit kill babies. Not going to do it. I'm not going to pay. But again, remember, the negatives don't negate the principle. Our taxes also build roads. Our taxes also provide schools and provide social subsidy for people that need it. Let me read Paul's words in a translation that's easier to understand from the Living Bible, which is a paraphrase, but it paraphrases it well. The authority, which is the government, the policeman. The policeman does not frighten people who are doing right, but those who are doing evil will always fear him. So, if you don't want to be afraid, keep the laws of the land and you'll get along well. The policeman is sent by God to help you. But if you are doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose. So obey the laws, then, for two reasons. First, to keep you from being punished, and second, just because you know you should. That's clear enough, right? Pray for those who enforce the laws of our land. Pray for our policemen. They're not enemies. The police force is not an evil estate the way some in our country seem to be trying to get us to believe. We are Christians. We believe differently. Are there corrupt policemen? Sure. A few, but remember, the negatives don't negate the principle. The police force is there to help us and protect us, and they're sent by God. Christians who know the riches of Christ have another reason for obeying the government. Therefore, it is necessary to submit, to subject to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of your conscience, because you know what is right and you know what is wrong. As a follower of Jesus, you're saved from God's coming wrath. You know you live by grace. You know you live by His mercy. You know He's forgiven you. And you know how all that happened? You know how your salvation took place? It happened because of an evil, wicked government called Rome. And Rome decided that somebody named Jesus Christ should no longer live. And the soldiers of Rome grabbed Jesus and they beat him and they flogged him. Did Jesus rebel? Did Jesus fight back? No, he submitted to their command. Even if it meant his flogging, even if it meant his death, he submitted to their authority, even though he's God and has the higher authority. As man, he submitted. And they nailed him to the cross and they crucified him. And on the cross, Jesus said to this wicked authority and this wicked estate that was killing him unjustly, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And he didn't disobey the government. He didn't rebel. He didn't refuse to comply. He supported their decision, even if it meant his death. As Christians, we're citizens of His kingdom, the kingdom of faith, and we're, because of that, citizens of this country, and because of that, we pay our taxes for the love of Christ. You pay your national dues because it's the right thing to do. Just as you pay your taxes to the Lord, you owe your obedience to God. So you come to church and then you pay your dues to the Lord when the offering plate passes by, and you pay your taxes to the Lord to support the things of the Lord, to support the things of the church, to support the good things that God is doing. And then you give your due to the Lord also by supporting the governments and the things, the good things that the government is doing, your taxes to support the government, the system that God has placed over you. So don't get in debt to your government. And in fact, our text says, don't get in debt to people at all. Again, Paul writes, pay to what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So now it all comes down to love. Why are we doing all this? Because we love. I talked about that last week, how God calls His people to love and what love looks like. And that sacrificial love. And again, God calls us as citizens of His kingdom to be a people of love. Get involved in our community because we love Spencer and we love the people in the community of Spencer. And I thought about skipping this next part, but then again, it's just God's word. And though it's unspoken, it needs to be spoken because God's word speaks it. It says, owe no one anything. And I know some of you here this morning have debts that need to be paid. You have credit card debt, and you have a home mortgage, and you have a car debt, and you have perhaps school debt and hospital bills. And some of you are debt-free. But all of us, every single one of us, are deeply indebted to God, who paid the debt of our sin completely. 100% He covered the debt we have, the debt of sin, and a debt of love that we owe Him. A debt of love and appreciation that I have a Savior who loved me so much that He died unjustly under evil government that I might be declared sinless and be members of His kingdom. That debt can never be repaid. And so we're citizens of God's kingdom. And as citizens of God's kingdom, then, faithful citizens of the kingdom of the United States of America, eager to serve Him by serving our country, by paying our taxes, by praying for our leadership, and by looking for opportunities to love people. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.